Welcome to the Business Bottom Line Podcast. We've got a special guest today, Mr. Jim Hawk with Greenville Signs here in the Jewel City of the Mountains. And we're going to get acquainted and let him tell us a little bit about our about his business and give us maybe a tip on what he would recommend to help your bottom line be black instead of red. So hello, Jim, and welcome. And give us a little bit of history about who Jim Hawk is.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Bill. A little history about me. So I grew up in a small town called Greenville, South Carolina, which is about 2.5 hours southeast of here. I grew up there, wanted to do something with my life, didn't really have much direction. One day I had an Army recruiter send me some information. And I didn't know it was the Army. I had no intention to join the military. But this flyer said all the right things. It sucked me in. There I went off. So I enlisted in the Army in 1996 in the Army National Guard. I liked it so much that when I came home, I wanted to do all the high-speed stuff, jumping out of airplanes, going to Ranger School. So that's what I did. So I went at my college at the University of South Carolina, Spartanburg. They had some recruiters there, some ROTC guys. I wasn't a good student. So when I approached him, he said, well, you can come over. You might get a scholarship. I'm like, well, okay, we'll see. Talked to the guys that could do that. And they told me, your grades, they're not good enough to get you a scholarship. And oh, by the way, your grades aren't good enough to get into ROTC. That kind of motivated me there. So I jumped on in, knuckled down, got my grades up, got into ROTC, and I got my commission in 2000. And so since the year 2000, I've been going hard with the Army, traveling all over the world, a lot of the parts of the world that people don't want to go to. And then in some places we're pretty good. So me and my wife were stationed in several different locations. We were stationed at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, which is the coldest place on earth. Then our last duty station was Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and we enjoyed Fort Leavenworth. The bulk of our time was spent at Fort Stewart, Georgia, in coastal Georgia. We absolutely loved it there. But when it came time to retire, I tried to leave it up to my wife where she wanted to move to. She didn't want to go home, but we wanted to get closer to home. We saw some property was available here in Greenville, Tennessee. So we came and checked out the area. The first place that we looked at didn't work out. We wanted to build our own house on some land, and it didn't work out. But eventually we found a very nice place up in Chucky. And we made an offer on it and got accepted. So I promptly moved my wife, Kim, and our two boys, Justin and Dylan, to Chucky, to that house. I got them settled in school, and I had to finish up my last year in the Army. Well, the good thing is I've accumulated a lot of lead time. So I was able to join my family in July while still in the Army. And I just had to go to Kansas for a short 5 days in October to sign out. And that was it. I've been here pretty much permanently since July. My wife, during our transition out of the Army, we didn't know what we wanted to do. But we knew we wanted to be business owners. We looked at franchises, but we did not like the franchise tax. So then we talked to a fellow named Ken Kent. He was a former executive for Ford. He started this company called Sign World Business Partners. And their sole purpose in life is to help people that have never been in the sign industry to start open up sign businesses. And they have lots of very successful sign businesses. And I'm hoping to be one of them one day. We're getting there. So we kind of did a soft opening in November, October, November. Didn't do a lot of business because it's kind of hard when you don't have signs up and you don't have advertising, you don't have a website. So it's all referral. But we opened the doors in January, got our sign up, got our equipment set up, and I hired my first part-time employee. And so we've been going at it pretty hard since January, just trying to get build up our business. And it's gotten better every single month since we've been here.
Well, that's great. That's quite a story to wind up in Greenville, Tennessee, with all that background, Jim. That's a long way around to get here, but we're glad you're here with your family
For sure.
and your business. So now, let me ask you a couple of background questions. How did you and Kim meet?
I'm sorry?
How did you and your wife meet?
Kim and I met when we were in college. So we both went to the University of South Carolina, Spartanburg. She had noticed me, and I didn't notice her. I'm kind of a clueless person. I kind of walk around with my head stuck in the sand those days. But she talked to a friend of hers that was one of my study partners, and so that's how we got hooked up. So it was a blind date for me. It was not a blind date for her. When I answered the door the first time we went out, and she answered the door, I didn't know it was her. I said, "Please, Lord, don't go and get your sister." Luckily, she didn't have a sister.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So you gave a little bit of background on kind of how you got your company started. And I know you have some dreams. So kind of tell us a thumbnail of what you're doing now. In other words, what you're offering and kind of where you hope to go with it as the year unfolds and the years unfold.
Well, so the good thing is most of the people I'm calling, there was a company here called Signs Plus a couple of years ago, and they had to close due to some unfortunate circumstances. And a lot of people that call think that we are Signs Plus. We're not. I do know Miss Critter Malone. I've met with her and had very good conversations with her.
Right.
But we are not them. We are. We just decided to start this company. What we've been doing, and the cool thing is there's a lot of new sign or new businesses that are opening up around here.
Yes.
And so it's good for us because we're a new business helping other new businesses get their start, because one of the main things that people see when they're coming up to a location is their sign. And that sign is really, it's your very first impression of a business. So if that sign looks good, if it's looking sharp, then people are going to be more inclined to want to visit. Obviously, you know, the outdoor signage is something we do. We want to help you design something that's going to look good and attract the eye, attract the customers. So obviously that's one of the main things we do, but, there's so many different options out there when it comes to signage. I mean, you walk into a lobby, you see the lobby and it's got, it's just blank walls. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can really spice it up by adding your logos or adding some sort of great message for your customers to read or to see or to look at. And it's just pleasing to the eye. And it makes it a more warm environment and more welcoming environment for people to want to then come into your office. Obviously, there's like the road signs you see out on the street. There's we call that directional signage. So there's directional signs for all sorts of things. You're having a yard sale, we can do that. You want to put up a banner to advertise something. It's all dealing with visual communications and how do you reach out and how do you grab people's attention to get them. I mean, it is a form of marketing, and it's probably one of the oldest forms of marketing. I mean, because signage was around before the internet. I know everybody likes to Google stuff, and that's I Google stuff. And that's important. We try to be on the front page of Google. But those signs that are out on the street in your buildings and how they look and the presentation that they make says something about a company. Mm-hmm. And so we want to provide, you know, one, we want to provide a good looking sign, and we want to provide consistent signs, because if your signs are inconsistent in your business, that could be unattractive to some customers, and they might. I mean, they're not going to say anything, but they'll notice it. And subconsciously it might change their experience.
Yes, and in the marketing world, we call that diluting the brand if you don't have consistency across platforms. And, you know, you mentioned Google, and it's not one or the other, it's both and. So you got to do all those things. And sometimes people get so focused on the internet that they forget that they need to be identified locally, and depending on what kind of office you have. But, you know, it's cool that you mentioned, signage in like a lobby or a waiting area, because that's a form of interaction. Even before a person enters the conversation, there's interaction with message, logo, you know, something that's there. So it all is very important if you want to grow your business.
For sure.
Yeah. 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 So you said you live in Chucky. Do you guys own a farmland, or is it just a house?
Yes, sir. So my wife, she was a letterman for the University of South Carolina for equestrian riding. She's a very accomplished rider. We had children, so that's been kind of on the back burner. But she loves critters. So that means that I love critters, and I do. I like to have animals. So we have several horses. We have a small herd of sheep, just because, you know, I thought it'd be a good idea, because I do like to eat some lamb. Okay. So I'm looking forward to some lamb this fall. But I don't want to have a big herd, and they do help manage the pastures. Mm-hmm. But Kim, she's also a dog breeder. She has a dog kennel called Lovejoy Pembroke Welsh Corgis, which is okay. She's been her kind of her little side business since we've been in the Army. So she breeds championship corgis, great bloodlines, beautiful dogs. We have one grand champion stud male and one female champion. And we have one that's out on the road getting shown right now. So hopefully she'll get some titles put on her.
Yeah, well, that's great. Fascinating. I always enjoy talking to new business owners, because sometimes they just come up with angles on doing business that are fresh and aren't commonly thought of. So that's fascinating. So you're co-owners of two different businesses, or maybe even more than that, but certainly two as well. So.
For sure. Yeah. Well, Kim, she's always, I mean, it's hard as a military spouse to find work. The government, the Army, the military, they try to do things to help them out. So she was a school teacher for a while, and she loved teaching school. But we have school age kids ourselves, and we both decided that it would be good for her to stay home and be with the kids and help raise them, because we want to raise good men for our society. And so she's always wanted to do different things. And so this, the raising and breeding of the dogs, she was always a very good breeder of horses. So she just kind of carried that over with dogs, and she kind of uses the same methodology, to breed really good stock and dogs. And, she's done pretty well at it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's not totally unique, but it is also not common, at least not in this area. And when you focus on a certain breed like that, it's always fascinating to see the people that's drawn to that, because each breed has its fans, whatever the breed is. And so I'm sure she's connected across the country with people that love corgis.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one advantage of being in the military, is we know people in all parts of the country, for sure. People that are close friends that we lived with for several years, and then we all go our separate ways. But we all try to keep in touch. And so it's kind of neat in that regard as well.
Yeah, that's true. And being part of the military, and I didn't say it, but thank you very much for your service, Jim. It's much appreciated. But that family group that you develop over the years in the military is very special, and very deep relationships, even though you don't necessarily see them, maybe only for a year or two, that relationship develops, but it lasts throughout the years. I just lost a good Air Force buddy this past week who succumbed to Parkinson's. And although we didn't talk regularly, but we kept in touch and visited back and forth, and that was, I'm not going to say how many years ago that was, but it was a few years ago that we were together for probably 18 months, but yet that relationship lasted. you know, through the rest of life. So that's sure very is. Special. So we talked a little bit about what you're doing with the business, and tell us a little bit how you've worked on promoting yourself since it's been a struggle. You are new and you're still in this first year work. What are some things you've done? Years ago, I read a book called Guerrilla Marketing, and basically it was 50 things to do that don't cost any money. I'm not sure there's any of those left today. Everything costs money. But what kind of things are you doing as a new business? Because that might inspire somebody else as they're listening and watching to things that they may not have thought of.
Well, so, I mean, being in the Army for 26 years, I mean, I did get a degree in business management. I got my master's, an MBA in at business administration. So, I mean, I had some a little bit of business acumen, but the Army doesn't teach us what you really need to know. Neither does school. I mean, just let's just be honest. But this group that we got with, the Sign World Business Partner, they have been instrumental in kind of helping us along the way, step by step. And they give us techniques. But the one thing I think that has helped me out the most is the referral networking groups. Mm-hmm. So I quickly joined the BNI group here in Greenville, and that is filled with wonderful people. We'd like to get more people to join, but the people that are in it right now are absolutely wonderful. So it did cost some money, but it was well worth it because I made that money back almost as soon as I joined. I mean, so in that regard, it was worth it. And I get referrals from those guys constantly. They're very helpful. So the other things is really you have to get out there and you have to beat the streets. You have to get out there and meet people. You have to talk to people. And that's something that I had to learn to get better at, and I'm getting better at it. I do like to talk to people, and I like meeting new and fascinating people. And there's a ton in this area. Most people I meet around here are super friendly too. And that's the one of the things that drew us here. But just getting out there, finding those referral networks. There's one that I join every Monday morning at Ingles. We meet up, we sit down and have a cup of coffee. It's called Breakfast and Networking Referral Group. You can find them on Facebook. It doesn't cost anything. Robbie Britton, he's kind of the leader of it. So anybody that wanted to join could certainly join every Monday morning at 8:30. They go from 8:30 to, I think, 10. Just drop in. If you can't stay that long, just drop in and tell us about your business and what you need. But those referral groups have been instrumental in getting the word out, because it takes time. Mm-hmm. You set up a website, you pay a lot of money for a website, but it takes time for that website to get up and running. And then you have to pay all that money to do your search engine optimizations and everything else. And all that stuff's good. You get that marketing tools out there. But then it's a waiting game, because people aren't going to find you right away. So the fastest way to get your name out there is to hit the streets, start meeting people, throw your business cards out and give it to anybody that'll take it. And if they take a business card, you should automatically ask for one of theirs, and then build that spreadsheet, right, of people that you know, so you can send them emails and say, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we've done. If you're interested, hey, come on, give us a call.
Yeah, getting your exposure out there is intimidating, but it's absolutely necessary if you're going to grow and get new clients. And the thing early on that I learned, you just got to ask. If you never ask for someone's business, you're probably not going to get much. So not, you know, in a overbearing or arrogant way, but just say, like you're describing, hey, this is what I do. If I can ever help you, let me know. And that kind of talk always helps. And when you're with people, like you're talking about being in a networking group on a weekly basis, you start to develop some relationships. So it becomes about more than just getting a prospect, but you actually begin to intertwine yourself with people's lives in the community. And that's always a positive thing.
Absolutely. And people here are very welcoming, and You know, and even meeting the my competition. So I've tried to meet all my competition in the area, and you know, I fully expected to come on their property. And as soon as I told them who I was and what they do, that they would say, "Get off my property." But that didn't happen. People, they're welcoming. I mean, competition is good. It's what this. It's what our country is. It's part of what our country is founded on. The capitalist market is great because competition. It's good for everybody as long as it's healthy and good competition and fair, because that's really what's going to help drive prices down, and just it's going to have businesses competing against each other, but at the same time it helps the consumer for what they want to get out of it, and it keeps prices where they need to be.
That's so true, and that's one of the things I've tried to do in my career is to know my competition just as people, because they're part of the community, I'm part of the community, and we should be able to have relationships without being, you know, belligerent or downplaying someone else's business. And oftentimes they call for help on things that I can help, and sometimes I need to call them for things that I need help with. And so it works both ways, and I think we're all better for it. So I think that is really a good thing you've done in visiting and getting introduced, and it kind of takes the friction away off the front of those kind of relationships.
Yeah, for sure. An example, last week there was another sign business that got in a jam, and they called me, and it was an honor for me to say, "Yeah, come on by. Yeah. I'll help you out, you know, because one day I'm going to get a jam, and as long as I can call on you and you're going to help me out, then it's a win-win."
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's how we should be living. I think we're all better off because, in essence, that's what makes us a community when we work together and help each other out in those various places. Like you say, it doesn't mean we're not going to compete, but we want to do it with honor and do it well. And we don't have to put anybody else down to do that.
For sure.
Yeah. So now, We said we would probably somewhere toward the end come up with a tip, and you've given two or three good ones already. But if there's one business tip that you'd want to share with a new owner that, or not necessarily someone new that's been in business for a while, sometimes I'm not going to tell you how long I've been in business because it would be even more detrimental than how I look to know that. But it's been a long time, and there's always things to learn regardless of how long you've been in business. So if you have something, it doesn't have to be earth shattering, but if you've got something you want to wrap up with as to what you would suggest someone else do, just a tip, share that with us.
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good tip. So entrepreneurship is harder than combat operations.
Amen.
And it's scarier. It is scarier, Bill. Let me tell you, I knew this is something I wanted to do. I want to do it for myself, and I want to do it for my family. And hopefully one day it'll provide the freedom that we'd like. I can't say I'm a successful business. I mean, we are doing things, and we are making moves, and I think we're going to be okay. But entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. One day you're flying high as a kite, doing great. The next day you are in the lowest of all the dumps that you could be in because you're like, why did I do this? But the biggest piece of advice I could give anybody, and it's what I learned early on in my life with my dad kicking my butt all over the yard and through the army, is never, ever give up. Just keep going.
That's terrific. Absolutely terrific. We were talking about that last week, and I can't quote it, but I'll put it out here so anybody can look it up. But Calvin Coolidge, which is an obscure president in history, had one of the best quotes about persistence. And I can't quote it. I should be able to because I love it. But Google Calvin Coolidge quotes, and you'll see it about persistence. And that's the very thing that I think overcomes all other issues. You got to be persistent. If you get knocked down, get up and do it again.
My 10-year-old son, he gave me a, he said, "Dad, did you know that, what's the guy's name? Winston Churchill." He said, "Winston Churchill had the shortest speech in history." And I'm like, "Okay, what's that?" "Never, ever, ever give up." Yeah. And that was the whole speech.
Wasn't anything else to say after that. And boy, did he ever live that out. And so did all the other Britons during that period. And that was the thing that truly you'd have to say that saved them, because they were up against a formidable enemy that was relentless, but they didn't give up.
For sure. They did. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for coming on and sharing some of life and your business and that tip. And sometime in the future, we'll have to get back together and get an update and see how things are going.
I would love to provide one. I appreciate you having me on, Bill.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for your service. We appreciate that. So important. All of our service members and veterans and retirees. So we thank you very much for that, Jim.
I appreciate yours as well.
Thank you.